Welcome to Real Estate Coaching Radio, starring award-winning real estate coaches and number one international best-selling authors, Tim and Julie Harris. Real Estate Coaching Radio is the nation's number one daily radio show for realtors who demand authentic, real-time coaching. Get ready for fluff-free, unfiltered, full-strength honesty about what's truly working to get you into action, helping others, and making money now in today's real estate market. Now to our hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
Hey, welcome back to Real Estate Coaching Radio. Why did I just make that stupid noise? That was annoying to listen to me. Sorry, listeners. I'll never do that again. No, actually, I was just chatting somebody, telling them that they did a really good job on something, and I guess I was feeling enthusiastic. So listen, guys, you know what? Here's a simple fact, a fact of life, a fact of sales, a fact of everything. Prospecting sucks. Always will, always has been. Do it anyway. So we're going to be picking up on part two of the podcast we started yesterday about this topic. Guys, listen, if you're a lot of you brokers, office managers, what have you, are using our podcast for your training material, and that's great. This in yesterday's show, really important because it really gets at the heart of why somebody will or won't succeed. I'm going to set your mindset out in a positive direction. And then Julie's got some folks she'd like to acknowledge. Prospecting does suck. In other words, asking folks to basically, you know, do business with you either directly or indirectly, using scripts or just having conversations where the topic of real estate comes up, where you offer to be of service to folks, for example, by saying, by the way, whom do you know that I should be helping buy or sell a house in this market? Versions of that are a nice innocuous way of offering your services to people. Nobody is going to be offended when you approach asking for business that way. You know, in indirect ways that we teach you in Premier Coaching, for example, having conversations, just the normal things that people converse about in life. And then obviously one of the topics of du jour for most everyone is real estate, and talking about real estate in a informative type way, not bragging about how hard it is. Oh my God, buyers and sellers, or there's no inventory, or all the complainy stuff. Offer them help about, hey, by the way, are you interested in knowing what your property is worth? I think you might be surprised. Mind if I send you over a CMA? And while I'm at it, do you know, are any of your neighbors thinking about buying or selling? Because we've got a lot of folks that are looking in your area. Conversations like that, guys, that's prospecting. Now, prospecting is also just having a conversation while you're at Starbucks or while you're waiting to go into the OTF torture room, i.e. studio, when you're sitting, you know, whatever and wherever you are, you can have these conversations with people that are not these grab you by the, you know, the throat and choke you for a lead that a lot of you guys think prospecting is. Prospecting is just conversations with folks. That's all it is. You're just talking to people. It doesn't have to be against some in your face, like sign on the bottom line. That's not prospecting. That's something else. I don't even know what that is. We don't teach that, whatever that is. What we teach you to do is basically be yourself, being the best version of a real estate professional you can, having conversations with people with the intent of being of service to them. That's our definition of prospecting. You guys got to remember that. It takes the stress off. So as we're going through these points, I think as long as you realize that your job, your highest and best use in your business is prospecting. Call it lead generation if that makes you feel better. Whatever words you want to use, if prospecting makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up, that word, some of you are scared of it. I get it. I understand. But look, just change the context of it. Prospecting is probably you, without even really necessarily knowing it, you've probably had two or three calls or conversations that are probably kind of prospecting related since you woke up this morning. Some of you, maybe not. So others of you, probably, yeah. And those are prospecting things. So if you start intentionally entering every single day with the idea that, say, for example, you're going to try to have, say, 10 of those types of conversations, it's a mixture of the passive, friendly, how do you do type, so I just kind of modeled out for you, and the more direct ones, the for sale by owners, expired centers of influence, notice defaults, all those types of things. When you start mixing up those types of contacts every day, and you start realizing that your highest and best use in business, in this business, is don't wrestle with it anymore. And you stop looking for shortcuts. You stop being one of these agents that thinks a text or an email or a Facebook message is a contact. It's not. That's nothing. That doesn't count. Don't do it. It's basically a waste of time versus picking up the phone. When you start shifting your mindset like that, it becomes easy. And then you realize, most of you will, that, you know what? Maybe you were overthinking it. Maybe you were thinking it was harder than it was. It wasn't. It's just you being yourself, having conversations with the intention of helping people buy or sell real estate. That's all it really is. So Julie, some folks you'd like to acknowledge, and let's get back to the potatoes and gravy of your notes.
Yes, you got it. So Amber Nefsger is posting on our private Facebook page some really beautiful Popeye presents for St. Patrick's Day to pass clients, centers of influence. Always good to get out there talking to people, not being a secret agent. So nice job on that. And let's see, lots of great prospecting related victories. And it's always interesting to see these, you know, I think I highlighted her earlier this week. One of our agents went door knocking in the rain, talked to like 10 expireds, older expireds, and got 3 listing appointments out of it. Okay. 10. I asked her on yesterday's premier call, Tim, how much time she had involved in that. Total of 4 hours to get 3 listing appointments. Or you can just wait around, buy leads, and, you know, pray to the real estate gods. She decided to take action. So there's quite a few of those types of victory dances going on. Yes.
I feel coaching, yeah, we need to interject there. Look, getting the appointments is great, guys. But if you're not using a pre-listing pack, if you're not using a proven listing presentation, you're going to be frustrating yourself because you're going to start thinking, well, I just went on 5 listing appointments. I only took 2. And then you're going to start rationalizing your failure. Your mindset has to be that 5 out of 5, 100%, is the only thing that you'll settle for. I know that occasionally one will get by you, but you need to approach this business with a no tolerance policy for failure. Are you guys listening to me?
Absolutely.
Zero tolerance. You go on an appointment, you take one, which means you have to follow. I had an email, Julie, and I think you were participating in this email back and forth. And this gal sent us this, I mean, I should find it and read it. But she's basically saying she went on an appointment. Everything went really well. She sent the PLP and she didn't get the listing. They listed with somebody else. And then I just sent an email back. I could tell she knew where I was coming from. And I asked her, did you use the Sharpie close? Did you do other elements of the pre-listing presentation? Nope. So all she did was sent the PLP. And when she gets to the house, she just does whatever she normally had done. Guys, if you're not going to follow the entire process, you're not going to get the results that everybody else are getting. So it's not just the pre-listing pack. It's the pre-qualification that happens before you send it, knowing the seller's motivation, sending the PLP, and then following our listing presentation, which, by the way, the presentation itself from soup to nuts only really takes about a half hour. This isn't some long drawn out, and there is no big crescendo at the end. There is no, you know, but there's no stress in it because you have essentially gotten there knowing exactly all the things you need to know. And now at that point, all you are doing is focusing in using our Sharpie close on what the seller is really concerned about. And once you've alleviated those concerns, the natural, normal next thing is for them to list with you. And they do, like 100% of the time. So you need to follow the entire listing process. Don't just think because you have a kick-ass PLP that you're in the end zone. You're not. You have to follow the entire process. So Julie, sorry for interjecting that, but hopefully I reached some folks.
And we do see that some of these guys think that just getting the pre-listing package. And I'm always on them in Premier Coaching. It's not enough to just have it. You have to, you know, do the coaching calls that go with it so you know how to present every page. But then beyond that, what you said, the pre-qualification, the actual presentation, closing, all of the things, and that's why we have a whole other section once you get your pre-listing package done. Now you move on to working with sellers, real listing.
Hold on. I always get the listing because people like me. I always get the listing because I know how to dance on my toes and
nice
I can
laugh.
Entertain people. And I can bond with people and I make them this, the other thing. I can romance them into listing. Guys, isn't that how a lot of you think? I can show up with my version of listing presentation. I don't need to use yours. I got a little from this coach and I got a little from this mentor and I got a little from this book and I put my own together and it's good enough. I get half the listings I go on and my broker told me, or my office manager told me, or some guru moron told me that 50% is good enough. Nope, it's not. Ugh. And don't do that anymore. No more patchwork. Oh, hold on. I went to a website. I went to a Facebook group and they gave me some ideas. And then I combined them with some other ideas. Guys, seriously, imagine if you went to a doctor today, right? And you need to have some, let's say, non-life threatening procedure done. And the doctor did all the things you do when you go on a presentation. Like a presentation is for a surgeon, it's the operating room, right? When you go on a listing presentation, you are the surgeon in the operating room, or you are the actor who's on stage, whatever, however you want to do it mindset wise, whatever works for you. But just imagine if that doctor said, hold on now, Julie, I have got something really awesome for you. I learned on Facebook today that we can do the procedure this way. And then I went over to a Google group and there
I
could do it this way.
And I watched a video on this.
I went to YouTube. Right. And then some guru, you know, slime ball came to town last week and I basically went to his seminar and he told me I could do it this way. And I'm gonna weave all this shit together and that's how I'm gonna do my procedure. Are you excited? But isn't that what a lot of you guys do? That's right. Let's see how it works out. This is exciting.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, in real estate, you can get further than, at least I hope so, than surgeons do winging it, because that'll get them through, if we're being honest, okay, that'll get them through a fair amount of appointments. Yes, that's true. And you probably will, assuming you don't screw it up, you probably will take a fair amount of those until that gravy train comes to an end. And usually when those agents that you described, Tim, have that experience, here's what it sounds like. They'll be bragging that they've got one in the bag, you know, maybe it was a referral, and, you know, a coach will ask them, do you think that you're competing? Oh, no, I've got it in the bag. You know, they've been in my system getting my drip for the past, you know, 100 years. And that agent will go in there very assumptive. And what happens? Just so happens that the other spouse also knows an agent who actually did a killer job with their presentation, handled all the objections, and closed in a more professional
manner. Who is professional, basically. So the wing it types will always
lose. And there's the prize.
Right. The wingeters, and most of you guys listening, unless you're Premier Coaching clients, you're wingers. You basically have patched your own deal together. A lot of you guys, you'll use our pre-listing pack, but after that, you have nothing you present has any resemblance to the pre-listing pack. There's no continuity between one thing and the other. So you, the wingers out there, you guys might get some business, as Julie was trying, I think she's saying, that you'll get business from your centers of influence and your past clients, the people that sit next to you in church because they like you. And you will develop this false sense of bravado, this unearned confidence, because you're getting business from people that know you and like you. Well, guess what? You could have shown up probably in flip-flops and they still would have listed with you. As soon as you step out of your immediate group of people that know, like, and love you, and you have to start competing, which many of you are going to quickly come to the realization that just your centers of influence and past clients is usually not going to be enough opportunity for you to have much of a business at all. That's the reason, that, in our opinion, one of the main reasons that most agents fail is because all they do is centers of influence and past client stuff, because it's easy. There's virtually no resistance to it. It's friendly. It's nice. There's no sales skills needed necessarily. It's just doing friendly conversation, chatty stuff. It's not real selling. It's not real, you know, there's no real presenting. Not really. It's just, you know, is your mom really going to put you through the cheese grater before she lists her house to you? No. And that's the reason that most people are attracted to that business, until all that business dries up, which typically it does within 24 months or less for most people. And that, even that, is going to be meaning you're only going to sell probably, if you're lucky, 3 to maybe 10 houses a year. And then if you start maybe being a little bit more direct and start, you know, direct mailing and pop buying, and you might be able to add another 5 or 10 transactions, but you're going to hit a wall and you're going to have to then start competing against agents who are skilled. And you walk in there with your cat and monkey show that's not an organized approach, and you'll lose. And you're going to then lose confidence. Then you're going to decide, well, you know what? Maybe buying those buyer leads, it wasn't a bad move. And now you're back where you started. You see, it's because you hit a learning wall. It's not that you don't have necessarily the talent or the motivation. It's you just hit a learning wall. You just got to a point where what you were doing didn't work anymore. It happens to all of us in all aspects of our lives, guys. We have to always constantly be improving. The word complacency is not a real word. It's a fake word, because you can't be complacent. You're always changing. Your life is always changing. Everything around you is always changing. So, moral of the story is, Premier Coaching clients, and those of you who are enrolling to become Premier Coaching clients, hundreds and thousands of you, you know, over the next couple of years, you've got to follow the entire process. Don't just basically do it half-assed, or you will not get the results everybody gets. I cannot say it any simpler than that. Julie?
Yes, which is a great lead into point number 4 in our Prospecting Sucks, Do It Anyway podcast series here. Point number 4, secret agents have skinny kids. If you are dependent on repeat and referral business, you are going to hit a speed limit. Pursue both people you know and those you don't know in order to create consistent cash flow and eliminate cash spurts. Don't wait until you lose a killer listing to create your pre-listing package, learn your listing scripts, and polish your skills. Here's another quote from Jeb Blount from his book, Fanatical Prospecting. He said, quote, "There is no easy button in sales. Prospecting is hard, emotionally draining work, and it is the price that you have to pay to earn a high income." I like that. Pretty much sums it up. But then I also have one from Dale Carnegie, who said, "Inaction breeds doubt and fear. Action breeds confidence and courage. If you want to conquer fear, do not sit at home and think about it. Get out and get busy." From Dale Carnegie. Okay, so moving on to number 5. Are you chasing suspects or prospects? Are you asking questions and using scripts or winging it and praying to the real estate gods? Is everyone on your drip system, or are you having real conversations, asking real questions and listening to their answers? What is their motivation, their time frame, their qualifications? So are you chasing suspects or prospects? Well, some of you don't know the difference because you're not asking questions. Some of you get so impatient and complain that you had one conversation and they haven't miraculously yet listed with you. But why is that? Because you haven't asked any real questions. You don't know what's actually happening with them, so your follow-up isn't great. So polish that. Point number 6, and Tim, this number 6 is a huge one. I've had many coaching clients tell me that of all their coaching calls, one of the most impactful was when they got this. It's very simple. It goes like this. Answer the phone. Stop hiding out through voicemail, landing pages, and drip systems. Be there for the prospect when they need you, or relinquish their business to someone who is. 1-800-HOME-HOTLINE.com comes to mind on this, so that you can be there when they need your help. Most sales happen because you're there, and then you backfill with your scripts and your skills and make sure you don't screw it up. But, you know, it's so funny, Tim. I always think about this on this point when we present this. Sometimes agents will ask for a free coaching call. They'll ask for help. We'll try and schedule with them, and in their notes, it'll say, what do they need help with? Lead generation and lead follow-up, okay? Pretty common thing that they, quote, need help with. Then we'll call to schedule, and their voicemail's full. It's like, really? Point number 1, answer the phone. Know what's in your voicemail. Stop hiding from your leads. I don't know why people
do
that.
I have a story. This is true. This happened this morning. I'm not going to say the agent's name, Ben, in L.A., but this is actually what happened. So Ben in L.A., I'm not going to use his full name. Okay, so he goes on a listing appointment. I'm going to tell you guys exactly as I remember it, for basically $3 million. He lives in a very high-end neighborhood. He's up the way from the Kardashians and the whole thing. So Ben in L.A. goes on this listing appointment. Goes great. Sellers love him. He loves the sellers. Boom, bada bing, bada bing. He doesn't hear back from the sellers for 2 days. And then a third day, he doesn't call them. He then sees the house shows up in the MLS as being listed with some other agent. He sends a very nice email to the sellers and says, "Mr. Seller, I wish you luck, whatever, whatever," you know, being very professional and, you know, sucking it up, buttercup. Then he gets an email back. Guys, today this happened on a coaching call. And the seller says, "Ben, we've been trying to call you. The only reason we listed with Joe Schmo was because you didn't return any of our calls." Okay, let me finish the story. And this gets better. Yeah, I know. Made my skin crawl too. Actually, I think I was more exacerbated by it than he was, but that's okay. So he then, on the coaching call, he mentions this to me. He says, "Tim, do you remember that appointment that I went on for, you know, almost $3 million that I thought I had in the bag and the whole thing? They listed somebody else." And I was like, "That doesn't make any sense." That's my thought. And I thought, "Well, why?" He goes, "Well, you know what? They listed with this other guy, and then they end up, you know, I end up emailing him, and he read the email. It was very nice. And he said, they emailed me back and said that, you know, they've been trying to get hold of me, and I didn't call him back. And, you know," but then he said, "but I think they were just bullshitting me. I think they're just trying to basically, you know, be nice to me in the event that I may have had a buyer. They didn't want to burn a bridge with me and whatever." And I'm thinking, okay, Ben's rationalizing not having done something right on his listing. As a coach, I'm going to find out what the hell he screwed up. So then I asked, he said, "Well, they had my phone number. There's no way they didn't have my phone number. I mean, come on now." And I said to him, "Ben, let me ask you, when the guy originally called you to come out and have you, you know, talk with you about listing the house, what phone number did he call?" And Ben said, he didn't say anything. Quiet, 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 nothing, nothing. And he goes, "Oh shit, they called my office." I said, "Ben, what happens if I call your office looking for you?" He goes, "Basically nothing. It just goes to a phone tree and the next agent that's up and the whole thing, it just gets lost." So in other words, this person who basically called you, first of all, who was able to find you in the first place, was kind of a miracle in itself. But when they try to call you subsequently, do you even check the voicemail at the office? No. Do you even get leads when leads call into the office? No. So Ben, how many phone numbers do you have out there on signs, between signs, internet, between all the different places that, you know, people over the years where you've, you know, how many different phone numbers? Three, four, maybe five different phone numbers. So you lost a $3 million listing because you essentially have all these phone numbers, and this, it was a seller's job to find you and find what phone number you were going to return a call at. And by the way, the seller had indeed left voicemails for him. He did find them. So the seller wasn't making the story up. I found that out later after our coaching call. So the moral of the story, guys, is how many, when Julie and I sold real estate, we had one phone number. And the phone number was 614-846-0500. Okay. We had one phone number. It was on our signs. It was on our business cards. That's it. That's the only phone number we had. And as you guys start to have more opportunities, you really need to drill down on having one preferred form of channel of communication. And I would suggest it's your cell phone. And your cell phone number needs to be the phone number that you personally own. And it's the only phone number that people ever have to get a hold of you. That phone number is essentially one of the only true assets you have of your business, because years from now, when people are trying to list a house or buy something, they're going to find your phone number in their phone and they're going to contact you. But in this particular case, Ben had made a rookie mistake of essentially having too many phone numbers. All of you guys are guilty of that. Every single one of you are guilty of that. I'll tell you what, I was guilty of that as his coach for not having actually checked to make sure he didn't have a bunch of different phone numbers. But it turns out his broker makes the broker, the sign on the broker's sign has to be the broker's phone number, and the whole, that whole Mickey Mouse game, you know, which by the way, there's workarounds for that. So moral of the story, even at his level, and this guy makes millions of dollars per year, top producer, big dog in LA, works with A-level celebrities. Even at his level, he makes mistakes like that. If he does, I know a lot of you do as well. So you need to listen to what Julie said. It's clearing out your voicemail every day. How about having a voicemail that never has more message sitting in it for more than like 5 minutes? How about changing your voicemail to be something like this? Hi, you've reached Tim Harris with ABC Realty. Thank you for calling. During normal business hours, I return all calls within 15 minutes. If you're calling in the evening or on the weekends, I return all calls the next business day. Please leave the number, the best number where I can reach you during normal business hours. What have I just done? I've told you that I'm not going to call you back after what I deem to be normal business hours. And I've also told you I'm probably not going to call you back on the weekend unless I choose to. You've set that, you put up realistic boundaries. You've set expectations for what the experience is going to be when people do business with you, when you copy that. So just copy it. Go back and listen to that. Change your voicemail right away. And then you've got to be returning calls. Returning calls, and look, not the pendings and the contracts and all that stuff. That stuff should go to a TC. Absolutely. But all the top line lead stuff, you guys do not take yourself out of that being a top tier. You know, you need to know what's happening in your business. You need to know what's flowing in. For every 10 great leads, if you try to delegate lead conversion, I promise you, you're going to maybe get three of them. Whereas if you are doing the conversions, you're probably going to get 8 or 9 of them. Don't think that can be delegated. It can't. It can't effectively. You guys listening? Julie, next point. I think you have time for one more.
Yeah. Oh, Ben. And for all of you guys going, don't, that's me. Remember, we have a podcast you can find at realestatecoachingradio.com that's called How to Hot Rod Your Real Estate Sign.
So did you just make a Homer Simpson noise? Was that a Homer Simpson noise? You did. Really, that was funny. Oh, I want a donut now, don't you? Don't you want a donut? Yes,
definitely. Hey, oh, donut would be great. She's good tomorrow morning, remember.
That's how we bribe our four-year-olds. And listen, I don't want you guys sending us any parental suggestions. If we can get Zoe to be a good little girl by offering her a donut once a week, we're going to continue doing it. So no criticism.
Right. I'll burn it off. Okay. So point number 7, mindset and expectations are 90% of the prospecting battle. Zig Ziglar wrote, "You were born to win, but to be a winner, you must plan to win, prepare to win, and expect to win." Here's my coach's note next to this. Do you expect to set an appointment when you do lead follow-up? Do you expect to take the listing when you present? Or do you follow that lame 50% rule? Well, only half are supposed to work out anyway. Excuses, excuses. I always remind these guys, 50% is not okay with your kids when they bring those grades home from school. Why would you accept it from yourself? 50%, really? That's failing in real life. So don't do it. But it is expectations. Expecting, when you walk up to a listing presentation to that seller's door, are you expecting to walk away with the listing, or are you like, well, we'll see how it goes? Does make a difference. Point number 8, prospecting requires courage. Don't be a wimp. Winston Churchill wrote, courage is rightly esteemed the first of human qualities because it is the quality that guarantees all of the others. It's supposed to be hard. That's why it's called work, not vacation. Do the work. Prospecting requires courage. Point number 9, Tim, and then I have to get to Premier. Be more fascinated by your prospect or client than you are with yourself. Make it all about them. Jeffrey Gittimer, one of my favorite writers, said, the key to mastering any kind of sales is switching statements about you, how great you are and what you do, to statements about them. And I'll leave you with point number 10 so that I can get ready for Premier. Back to you.
Actually, Julie, can you read point number 10? You have 5 minutes because I don't have it in front of me.
Oh, okay. I might read fast, though. Point number 10, create raving fans. Do what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it, and do it at the highest level that anyone's ever done it. A quote from Chris Murray, quote, make sure everyone who works with you or for you feels the need to tell others about the incredible experience they had with you. So homework to implement. Create a daily schedule that's simple to follow, which focuses on lead generation and lead follow-up, you know, otherwise known as prospecting. The appointments will follow. Use the Real Estate Treasure Map to help you achieve this. Back to you, Tim.
That's a good way to segment to our offer for a free coaching call. Listen, guys, when you request a free coaching call, you're going to get a copy of a Real Estate Treasure Map. There within the Real Estate Treasure Map, which is basically a fill-in-the-blank business plan, is a section where you are given a suggested daily schedule, but also you can modify it depending on your own ebbs and flows. So I strongly encourage you guys to grab that. All you got to do is go to freecoachingcallsforagents.com, freecoachingcallsforagents.com. And yeah, and we are caught up now. I think if you were to request a free coaching call today, I think you could get it actually. I think we have spots open over the weekend even. So just go to freecoachingcallsforagents.com. So listen, guys, thank you for continuing. I don't do this enough, but thank you for continuing to make this the number one listen to podcast for agents. We're the only daily podcast for agents. This is what we do as, you know, for a half hour a day. We share all this, you know, craziness with you, and we love the feedback that we get from all of you. It's really wonderful to be part of so many of your lives and businesses. We look forward to continuing to help you in any way that we can. We love your emails because it helps us give us direction, let us know when we need to change course with anything. Tim@timandjulieharris.com or Julie@timandjulieharris.com. Send email questions, anything like that. Things that are maybe not appropriate for the radio, we'll answer off show, so you guys don't need to worry about like us exposing your personal questions and whatnot, because we get a fair number of emails like that as well. Just email Tim@timandjulieharris.com or Julie@timandjulieharris.com. And if you want a free coaching call, just go to freecoachingcallsforagents.com. Have a fantastic day, guys. Talk to you on the show tomorrow or anytime. Remember, we have thousands of past shows waiting for you over at timandjulieharris.com and over at iTunes and Stitcher and Google Play and all the other places where it lives. Bye. Have a good day. Talk to you guys later.
This program has been a presentation by Tim and Julie Harris, Real Estate Coaching. For more information on our real estate coaching and training programs, visit our website at timandjulieharris.com. Remember to tune in weekdays at noon for upcoming shows. And until next time, thank you for listening to Real Estate Coaching Radio with Tim and Julie Harris.